embrace the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your grace and mercy. Thank you for your compassions toward us. Thank you for your blessings upon our lives. Thank you for making all things work together for our good. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. We thank you for the breakthroughs, the deliverances, the helps, the provisions, and the interventions we have gotten from you. Thank you, Lord, for the protection, the preservation we have gotten from you. Be glorified forever in Jesus' name. We thank you for everything you have done to change our lives into what it is today. We thank you for the things you are doing in us and around us to move us forward and to make us become the persons you want us to be. Thank you, Father. We thank you for the revival of your Holy Spirit that is happening in our spirits, souls, and bodies. We thank you for the healing miracles your power have done in our lives. Thank you, Father. Thank you for making it impossible for the powers and agents of darkness to succeed over us. Thank you, Lord, for rearranging things in our lives to align with your will and purpose for us. Thank you for restructuring things in our lives to line up our lives with your will. Thank you, Lord. We have come before you this morning to seek your face and to pray. O Lord, hear us from your throne in Jesus' name. Hear us from heaven. Meet us at the point of our needs. Help us from heaven in the name of Jesus. Have your way in this place. Thank you, Father, for we know you're going to do beyond our expectations. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. I welcome you to the Lord's presence. Today we are going to do more of prayers than teachings. I I have a strong feeling that we need to pray, that you need to pray. Yeah, if the Lord is calling us to pray, that means means you have not been praying enough, or the prayers you have been praying seems to not produce the result. God is looking for. So we're going to be praying a lot this morning. I want to read a verse from the book of James. Open your Bibles to the book of James, chapter 5. James, chapter 5, verse 16. Confess your faults one to another. James, chapter 5, verse 16. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Let me read it again. Confess your faults one to another. That is, if you have done anything wrong, whether to God, maybe you have offended God, or you have offended your fellow human beings or fellow believer. Bible says you should confess your faults with the brethren. I mean, confess your faults to the brethren. You might not have to do it to your pastor. Yeah, but if you can do it, if you can do that to your pastor, there's nothing wrong with that. Yeah, confess your faults one to another. That is what the Bible says. And then it went further to say, pray one for another, that ye may be healed. So the reason why we confess our faults, our sins, to one another is because as we pray for one another, things will happen. So we confess our faults so that we can pray for one another, not that the other party you told certain things will now go out and start telling everyone, do you know that brother? This is what he did. Do you know that sister? She told me she did this, she did that. No, that's not why the Bible says we should confess our fault, or things, or errors to one another. It's not for gossiping or backbiting. It's not for this one telling the other, can't you see what brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so did. It's not for gossiping. It is for intercession. It is so that we can strengthen. strengthen each other so that we can pray for one another. Yeah, that is why the Bible says, confess your faults one to another. Yeah, so you as a Christian, you should have someone who is a stronger Christian or a strong Christian, either strong or stronger Christian than you. Someone who is stronger than you spiritually, or who is also strong spiritually. You need to have someone that you open up to. Someone that you talk to. Someone that you share issues about your life to. For the purpose of prayer. Yeah, someone that you can open up to and tell the person your weaknesses and your errors, the things you are doing that you don't want to continue to do, that is the wrong things you are doing that you don't want to continue to do. There should be someone that you confess to for the purpose of edification, spiritual strengthening. Yeah, the Bible says, iron sharpeneth iron. So a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. So for the purpose of strength, so that the other believer who is stronger than you or who is strong can pray with you or pray for you and strengthen you and encourage you. But if you just keep quiet and you're not talking to anyone about what you're going through, you'll be closer to the grave. That's the truth. Because your situation will continue to get worse. Yeah, and some people, they prefer to go and share issues of their lives with people that are not Christians, people that, even if the person is a family member, you need to first ask yourself, this person I want to share issues of my life with, is she or is he born again? Does he or she have the Spirit of God? Is he or she able to pray to God on my behalf and God will answer? Is he or she a strong Christian? Is he or she able to lift me up spiritually? So these are the things you should ask yourself before you open your mouth and tell those people issues about your life. I don't know if you are getting my point. So, we need to obey this instruction that is in the Bible. Yeah. Don't heal yourself untimely. And don't allow the enemy destroy your life. Speak out to those God can use to raise you up, to lift you up. Speak out before it's too late. Yeah, let me read that place again. James chapter 5, verse 16. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. So when we start to pray one for another, that is how we will be healed. Both the person we are praying for will be healed, and also the person praying for the other person will also be healed. Yeah. So it is not only the person you are praying for that gets healed. Even you, who is standing in the gap, you get healed as well. Yeah. If one person is sick in the church, every one of us are sick at the same time. And if one person is healed, every one of us are healed. Because the church, Christians, we are one body in the sight of God. We are not separate entities. We are one body. Yeah. If, let's say for instance, you have a problem in one of your toes, the toes on your feet, every other part of your body is going to feel the pain coming from that place. So that is how it's supposed to be in the church. Just the way you have a problem in your stomach, and every other part of your body can feel that problem. The same way, the entire body of Christ should be able to feel it when something is wrong with one of us. So if one of us is sick, it means every one of us is sick. And if one of us is healed, it means every one of us is healed. Praise the Lord. So this is why we have to pray for one another. If you are so selfish and so self-centered, and you don't care about your fellow believer or fellow believers, you are in trouble. Yeah. You are in great trouble. Because sooner or later, you will suffer as well if you ignore others that are suffering and you don't show concern. Sooner or later, it will be your turn. And no one will show concern. And no one will be there. Yeah, whatever you sow is what you reap. Let us read verse 17. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. Verse 18. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Now, this verse 17 and verse 18 of James chapter 5 is complementing the latter part of verse 16 that says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The effectual fervent prayer of the righteous man dealeth much. Praise the Lord. Elijah was a righteous man. And his prayer could shut the heavens for 3.5 years. The same will happen, or similar thing will happen, if any righteous man at any point in time on earth and also pray. Yeah. If any righteous man can pray, God will answer. Let me read that place in another translation. I want to see how NLT puts that place. James chapter 5. Verse 16, James chapter 5, verse 16. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of the righteous person has great power and or interpreted this part of the Bible. It says, the earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power. If you believe you are a righteous person, your prayer has great power. And not only that, your prayer produces wonderful result. Your prayer will produce wonderful result. Yeah, and this is why this man of God called James is telling us to pray for each other, because the prayer of a righteous person has great power. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So this morning, we are going to pray. We are going to pray for ourselves, and then you are also going to pray for other believers. Yeah. That is what we're going to do this morning. Before I will now pray for you. Do you know that your miracle might not come until you start to pray for others? Do you know that your miracle might not come until you start to pray for your enemies? Do you know that your miracle might not come until you start to pray for your family members and relatives that need salvation, that needs to be saved, that needs to become born again, or to start to pray that they become born again and that they become saved, even the people that I have hurt you and offended you. So you're going to pray. You're going to say, Father, I repent from being selfish in my prayer life. You're going to say, Father, I repent today from being selfish in my prayer life. Forgive me for not praying for others as I should. So forgive me for not praying for others as I should. Open your mouth and begin to pray like that. Say, Father, I repent today for being selfish, for being self-centered in my prayers. Say, Father, I repent today for being self-centered in my prayers. Forgive me for not praying for others as I should. I believe you're praying. It's, Father, forgive me for not praying for others as I should. In Jesus' name, oh, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. If you can pray for hours for yourself, but you can't do the same for others, something is wrong with your spiritual life. You can pray for many hours or for a long time for yourself, but you can't do the same for others. Something is wrong with your spiritual life. Because you're supposed to prefer others first before yourself. That is the law of Christ. So you're going to pray. You're going to say, Lord Jesus, create in me a new heart that prays for others. Fervently, passionately, without looking at the time, without counting hours. The Lord Jesus created me a new heart that prays for others fervently and passionately. Open your mouth and pray like that. The Lord created me a new heart that prays for others fervently, passionately, without stopping, without checking time. Give me such a heart that will move me to pray for others first, even before I pray for myself. Give me such a heart that will enable me to pray for others. Created me a new heart that will enable me to pray for your will to be done in the lives of others, for transformation to happen in the lives of others, for grace to be given to others, for your mercy to speak for others. Oh Lord, give me such a heart that wants transformation for others, that wants revival for others. Give me such a heart that wants new life for others. Give me such a heart, O Lord, that wants your will to be done in the lives of others, and that is ready to pray until your will is done in their lives. Give me such a heart, Father, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. And what we don't know is that there is this saying. Yeah, somebody said, what goes around comes around. What goes around comes around. Yeah, well, what that saying means is that whatever you release out, sooner or later will come back to you. Yeah. So if you are praying for the good of others, good will also come to you. Yeah. You are praying for the healing of others, healing will also come to you. Yeah, some of you, you want God to use your pastor to bless you, to do wonders in your life. You want God to use your pastor to change your life. But how much do you pray for that pastor? When last have you prayed for that pastor? Now, what goes around comes around. Yeah, if you want God to use someone to help you, to bless you, then what are you doing? What are you doing for that person? Are you praying for that person? Now, when last have you prayed for that person? The kingdom of God is not established on selfishness or self-centeredness. And anytime we try to function or pray or live according to selfishness or self-centeredness, things will begin to go wrong. Yeah, that's the truth. Since the kingdom of God is not established on selfishness or self-centeredness, the kingdom of God is established on selflessness. So to really get the best from God's kingdom, we must follow that path of selflessness. You must care less about yourself and care more about others. So if you are not praying for your leader, and you are expecting that God will pass through your leader to touch your life, it might not happen. So you are going to pray. You're going to say, Father, give me such a heart that praise for those you are using to bless me spiritually. The Father, give me such a heart that prays for your servant that you are using to bless me spiritually. Open your mouth and begin to pray like that. Say, Lord, give me such heart. Give me such heart that prays for your servant, your leaders, the leaders you have appointed in the church to be a blessing both to me and to other Christians. Oh Lord, give me the kind of heart that prays a lot for your leaders, for your servant, in the name of Jesus. The Lord, give me such heart that praise the Lord for the people you are using at this time to bless your church, to minister to your church. Give me a heart that prays for them. Help me to pray honestly, fervently for your leaders, for your servant, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Days, confess your fault one to another. Pray one for another. Confess your fault. You're going to talk to God. You're going to say, Father, make me a Christian that is uncomfortable with sin. The reason why we fall sick is because of sin. We fall sick because of sin. Yeah. That is the only explanation for sickness and disease. Yeah. But you might be saying, did I really sin for this sickness to come into my life? Yeah. But we know by the scriptures that it is sin that gave birth to the death and to the agents of death, to sicknesses Yeah. So sin is why we fall sick. Yeah. So you're going to pray, if you are a Christian, I don't know if I should use the word Christian. If you're someone that feels comfortable with sin, you definitely would not live in health. Yeah, you can't be in health. If peradventure you don't have sickness in your body, you're going to have sickness somewhere else in your life. You can't escape sickness and your infirmities if you are the type that feel comfortable in sin. Yeah. So how will you confess your fault if you no longer, I mean, if you are comfortable with sin, you will not be able to confess that sin. But when you are no longer comfortable with sin, that is when you'll be able to confess, because you want solution. Because you want to be free. So you're going to pray. You're going to say, Father, I do not want to be comfortable with sin. Make my life hate sin. You're going to say, Father, I do not want to be comfortable with sin. Put in me a friend for sin. A friend for sin. Open your mouth and begin to pray like that. We cannot experience the healing power of God with things revealing in our lives. We cannot experience the healing power of God with things revealing in our lives. And you cannot pray for God to heal another person and see the person get healed when sin is prevailing in your life. Your prayer for others will not produce healing and transformation when sin is prevailing in your life. Say, Father, put in me strong hatred for sin. Make my life uncomfortable with sin. In the name of Jesus, make my life uncomfortable with sin so that I can be healed, and so that when I pray for others, they can be healed. Make my life hate sin with passion. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. I have said it before that the real sin is your Adamic nature. There are two ways to look at sin. The first is in the area of obedience and disobedience. God gives an instruction, and then you did not obey. Or God said, don't do this. And then you went ahead to do it. Now, the other way to look at sin is in the area of the root of it. The root. And that is the real sin. The real sin is the sinful nature in the root of it, where it is coming out from. Where sin is coming out from. That is the real sin. And that was why Jesus came to actually deal with the root of sin. Remember in Matthew chapter 1 verse 21, the angel said, you shall give birth to a son and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. So Jesus came because of the root of sin, because of that thing that is producing sin, because of the nature in human beings that generate sin, that produce sin. Let me use the word. Let me pluralize it. So Jesus came to destroy the nature in man that produces things. And that nature is the real thing. So if we have not conquered that nature, if you have not conquered the nature of sin in your life, you can never stop sinning. You can never be righteous in the sight of God. So everything Jesus came to do is to deal with that nature, to root out that nature. It is until the nature is gone that anyone can be free from sin. So you are going to pray. It is until the nature of sin in you is gone that you can live a holy life. You are going to place your right hand on your hand. You're going to say, Lord Jesus, I no longer want to have sin. The nature in me that is producing sins in my life. Uproot the nature in me that practice sin. Open your mouth and begin to pray like that. say, Lord Jesus, I do not want to continue to serve sin. I do not want to continue as a slave to sin. Say, Lord Jesus, destroy the nature in me that is making me to starve sin. Destroy the sin nature in me so that I can be free forever. I believe you're praying. Say, Lord Jesus, destroy the sin nature in me. The sin roots in me. The sin roots in my body. The root of sin in my soul. The root of sin in my spirit. Lord Jesus, destroy it now. I want to live a pure life. It is the cravings in you that is the real sin, the lust in you, the pride in you, the self in you. That is the real darkness. That is the real darkness, and that is the real sin. Yeah. If the power of God can destroy that, you'll be pure. It is the flesh that is the real sin. It is not until you commit a sin that you are in sin. It is not until you tell lies that you have lied. Yeah. Inasmuch as the nature of telling lies have not died in you, you are a liar. It is not when you tell lies that you are a liar. No. It is not when you steal that you are a thief. Yeah. Inasmuch as the nature of stealing is still alive inside of you. Inasmuch as the nature of telling lies is still alive on the inside of you. You are a thief and you are a liar. That is the truth. So sin is not when we commit it. Yeah, it is first of all in nature inside of us. It is first of all a nature inside of you. So the question is that nature dead? Or is that nature still alive? If that nature is not dead, you are a sinner. Whether you agree or not. If the nature of sin is not dead, is still in control in your life, you are not righteous. You are still in sin. You are still a sinner. It's just that the opportunity to practice the sins might not come now. The fact that the nature to practice that sin is still in you. You are not pure in the sight of God. Because when the opportunity that will make that nature carry out its potential comes, you will easily fall into sin. Easily. So talk to God. Say, Lord, take away this nature. We hope you are praying. The Lord, take away this nature of sin in me. I no longer want to have sin. Thank you, Father. I want to be pure. I want to be free. I want to be free. I want to be healed. Take away the nature of sin in me. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. I have shared with you before that the same power that destroys sin is the same power that produces healing. Yeah, but some preachers don't have this understanding, even though it is very clear in the Bible. It is very clear in the Bible. But some preachers will not tell you this truth, that to be healed is to be free from sin. To be healed, to be delivered, is to be free from sin. Now, what I'm telling you now, whether you have heard it before or not, I'm saying it again, that there will be no true healing and deliverance until the nature of sin in your life is dead. This nature of sin is like cancer. Yeah, the nature of sin in human beings is like cancer. Yeah, it is deadly, and it continues to destroy. It doesn't stop until you come to your senses and say enough. That is when the power of Jesus will manifest to stop it, to destroy it. You know, as cancer continues to spread and to destroy the organs in the body, so sin, the nature of sin, continues to destroy many things until you say stop. Then it stop. Then it will stop. Every sin carries the power of addiction. Every sin carries addiction in them. So the more you do them, the more you want to continue to do them. Yeah, that is the nature of sin. The more you do it, the more you don't want to stop doing it. And not only that, the more you start doing other things that are connected to that sin. Yeah, because sin, they connect to others. This sin will connect to that other sin, and that other one will connect to another one. So things, they connect together. Yeah, but when you say no, enough is enough. My life shall no longer serve sin. That is when you start to heal. Forget about all those healing miracles you see on the TV, or you read in books, or you hear in churches when people share testimonies. Forget about those things. Yeah, most times the people suffer even more problems in their lives. I mean, those people that share testimonies of healings and deliverances, many times they still suffer more problems because they did not get rid of sin in their lives. So they go back into sicknesses, problems, diseases. And mind you, it is not only your body that can sick, even your mind. Healed. They do not actually get healed. They were just superficially healed because sin is not big in their lives. Yeah. So how can this program, Healing Streams program, be effective in your life? How can this program produce results in your life when you are still a servant of sin? You are still a slave to sin. It's impossible. It's impossible. So you are going to pray. You must be able to say no. Enough is enough. So you're going to say, Father, help me to permanently turn away from everything that I know, every sin that I know. Say, Father, help me to permanently turn away from those things. Help me to permanently forsake them. Help me to say, enough. I am not doing this anymore. Open your mouth and begin to pray like that. Help me, Jesus. Your healing starts when you say no, permanent no to sin. That is when your healing starts. And that is when your deliverance starts. I'm telling you the truth. There are people that will not tell you the truth. I mean, there are preachers that won't tell you the truth. But I will tell you the truth. To Jesus to help you. Ask Jesus to help you. Ask Jesus to help you. The Lord Jesus, help me to say permanent no to sin and to lifestyle of sin. help me to permanently turn away from every sin that I know, from every sin that is in my life. Help me to permanently turn away. Help me to genuinely repent from every sin. Help me, Lord Jesus, so that I can be healed, so that I can be delivered, and so that you can use me to heal others and to deliver others. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. You can see even in the verses that I read to you in James chapter 5, verse 16, verse 17, verse 18. Even in those verses, you can see that sin is connected to sickness. Yeah, he said, confess your faults and then pray for one another so that you can be healed. So, which means if we are not healed, the problem is not with God. The problem is with us. The problem is with the sinful nature that is in us. Yeah. But those times that I suffered all manner of pains and sicknesses, they were because, I mean, those sicknesses and pains, they tarried in my life, or they stayed longer, because God wants to deal with certain nature of sin in me. Yeah, so if there is a nature of sin in you that is not yet dealt with, your sickness might refuse to go even after many prayers. Your sickness will not go if there is still some works of the flesh that is not yet dead in your life. Your sickness and your deliverance will not, your healing and deliverance will not happen. I don't know if I get my point. Yeah, so your healing and deliverance is directly connected to the nature of sin that is in you. I don't know if I get my point. So if the nature is not dealt, I'm not talking about these things you commit now, because some of you might say, I don't think I committed any sin recently. In fact, for the past 3-4 months, I don't think I've committed any sin. That's not what I'm talking about here. I'm talking about the nature of sin in you. Not just that whether you have committed a sin recently or not. Yeah, I'm talking about the nature. If that nature is still alive, some problem will not leave your life. So maybe you should stop focusing on the problem, on the problems, and start focusing on the nature of sin in your life, the flesh, the works of the flesh. or the nature of the flesh, or the Adamic nature. There are a lot of names the Bible calls it. Yeah, because immediately you conquer those, immediately you conquer the sinful nature, then you will see those health problems or satanic or demonic oppression disappear. I'm telling you what is biblical and what is real. So you're going to pray. Before you question God and say, God, why haven't you answered these prayers? Have you asked yourself if God is pleased with your life, or have you asked God if He is pleased with your life? So you're going to pray. You're going to say, Jesus, destroy the nature of sin in me, that is not allowing me to experience healing, to experience your healing and deliverance. You're going to say, Jesus, destroy the nature of sin in me that is not allowing me to experience your healing and deliverance. Open your mouth and pray. Open your mouth and pray. Is there Say, Lord Jesus, destroy the nature of sin, the nature of self, the nature of Adam, the nature of Eve, Adam and Eve, in me, that is not allowing me to experience your healing and deliverance. Lord Jesus, destroy that nature right now. In the name of Jesus, destroy the nature. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Destroy the nature now. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. You know, before now, or maybe I should say some years ago, I used to have a different perspective to healings, divine healings, and deliverance. I used to think all that is necessary to get healed and delivered is to have the power, to have the power of God, or to have the spiritual gift, or to have the anointing. Yeah. So I was asking God, God, I need a power. I need the power to perform healing miracles. I was praying, fasting, saying, God, I need the power to do deliverance on people. Yeah. But then God opened my eyes, and then He made me to see that I already have the power. Yeah. He said, the power is with you already. The anointing to do these things is with you already. But your mindset is wrong. Your understanding of the things of my kingdom is wrong. That is why the power is not working. He said, I already have the power. He said, I already have the grace, the authority, the anointing. Yeah, but he said, it's not working because I don't know how it works. Yeah, so he said, I should stop trying to help people get healed when they are still living in sin, because they will never heal. Even if physically they have a testimony or they see a miracle, he said they will never heal because sin is the real sickness. Yeah, I believe you're getting me. I want you to really pray to God for revival. Stop being a superficial Christian. We prayed a lot on that in one of our prayer sessions, one of the prayer sessions we did recently, the midnight prayer sessions. I talked a lot on superficial Christianity and deep Christianity. So you really need revival. Stop being a superficial Christian. You need to think deep the way God thinks. And then you'll be able to see things the way God sees them, including your own life. You'll be able to see your life the way God sees them. Yeah, so maybe you look at a problem in your life and then you're just like, let this thing just go. Let this thing just go. Have you thought of what is the root of this thing? Why is it there in my life? Why did God allow this thing to keep me bound? What am I doing wrong? What do I need to correct? That is how deep Christians think. Yeah. Superficial Christians, they're just looking for fast food blessings. Fast food miracles, something that comes very fast. Very fast. They don't even care whether the roots of the problems have been dealt with. They just want to see the problem go, only for another problem to come again. You want to see your present problems go. But you don't want to see it go forever together with many other problems. Are you looking for a temporal solution, or you are looking for a permanent solution? You are going to pray. You're going to place your right hand on your head. You're going to say, Holy Spirit, revive me now. You're going to say, Holy Spirit, revive me now. set my spirit on fire. Set my soul on fire. Set my mind on fire. Set my body on fire. Open your mouth and begin to pray like that. When there is revival, you will think differently. You will see things differently. So Holy Spirit, revive me. When there is revival, you will be able to connect with God, with your spirit. You'll be able to discern the mind of God. So Holy Spirit, revive me now. Revive me now. Wake up. Wake up my spirit man that is dead. Wake up my spirit man that is dead. Revive me, Holy Spirit. I want to be alive in the spirit realms. I want to be alive. I want to be aware of the spirit realms. Holy Spirit, revive me. I hope you're praying. Start a fire in me that will continue to burn forever. So Holy Spirit, start a fire in me that will not stop burning. Start a fire that will burn up every darkness, every root of sin. Start a fire that will burn up the flesh. Burn up everything that is not of Jesus. Start that fire. Start that fire in me. Holy Spirit, revive me now. Revive me now. Connect me to God. Connect me with God. Release my spirit. Holy Spirit, release my spirit. Connect my spirit with God for transformation. For power. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. We have three prayer points before I will be praying for you. You're going to pray. You are still going to place your right hand on your head. You're going to say, fire of the Holy Ghost, rise from within me. You're going to say, fire of the Holy Ghost, rise from within me. Destroy every root of sin and darkness. The fire of the Holy Ghost, rise from within me. Destroy every root of sin and darkness. Open your mouth and begin to pray like God. Nishashten netijilin didha. Nishashten deteshda. Rise. Rise. from within my spirit, from within my soul, from within my body. Fire of the Holy Ghost, rise. Fire. Thank you, Lord. I believe you're praying. Fire of the Holy Ghost, rise. 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 Now. In the name of Jesus. Pray. There's another way to say it. Pray in my spirit, fire of the Holy Ghost, pray. In my spirit, man, pray. In my soul, pray. In my body, pray. And destroy every root of pain and darkness. Destroy every root of sin and darkness. Spread all over. Fire of the Holy Ghost, spread all over me. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Two more prayer points. You're going to pray. You're going to say, Father, connect me with your grace that makes holiness that makes living holy. The Father, connect me with your grace that makes holy living. Open your mouth and begin to pray like that. If you can live holy, there are some prayers you don't need to pray anymore. There are some deliverance prayers you don't need to pray anymore. There are some warfare prayers you don't need to pray anymore. If you can live a holy life. Because they would be taken care of by that holiness. Holiness itself is a weapon of war. Holiness itself is a mighty weapon against darkness in the dark kingdom. The Father, connect me with the grace that makes holiness possible in my life, that will make holiness easy in my life. Connect me with that grace now. In the name of Jesus. Say, Father, connect me with the power that makes living holy. Connect me with the power that makes living holy. Connect me with the power that makes living holy easy. In the name of Jesus, connect my spirit with that power. connect my soul with that power. Connect my body with that power. Thank you, Lord. I hope you're praying. You don't get holy, you don't become holy just because you have strong determination. It is not in your human strength, or it is not by your human strength. It is by power. And if you can be holy, you'll be a terror to the kingdom of darkness. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. The last prayer point. You are still going to pray. The power of resurrection of Jesus, or the power that brought Jesus out of the grave, is also the same as the creative power of God. And that power is also the same with the power that makes people holy. I'm going to take it again. The power that brought Jesus out of the grave is also the power that creates things. It's also the power that does creative miracles. Maybe you have heard of people that doctor already tell them, or let me say, some parts of their bodies are already missing. Maybe they did an operation and they removed some parts of the body. Maybe they removed the womb, or they removed, kidney or whatever, or some people, some part of their legs have been cut off. That power that does creative miracle is also the power that makes people holy. That power that brought Jesus out of the grave, the power of resurrection, is also the power that makes people holy. Because God is not trying to God is not trying to support your human nature to practice holiness. God is not trying to help your human nature to live a life that pleases Him. That is not what God is doing. God is completely destroying the human nature, because God knows that the human nature can never please Him. So God is completely destroying the human nature and is creating a different nature in you that is not of this world. A different nature that is from above, that is according to the nature of people that are in heaven. A different nature that is not natural to humans, or natural in humans, but is only natural in God and in heaven. So that nature is completely unavailable here on earth and in human beings. So God is creating in you a nature that is not of this world. And it is only by that nature you can live a holy life. Yeah, so the same power that is creating that nature in you is also the same power that creates things from nowhere. And then you hear that someone that doesn't have kidney suddenly got kidney from nowhere. Even the doctors cannot explain. Someone that have no eyes that is using a plastic eye suddenly got a real eye. Someone whose legs have been cut off, suddenly the leg grew out. These kind of miracles happen because God's creative power is in action. So if you want to see, in fact, it is the same creative power of God that make Jesus feed 5,000 with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. Jesus fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. It is that creative power. Yeah, and this power will manifest when there is holiness in your life. It will manifest easily when there is holiness in your life. So you're going to pray. You're going to say, Father, lay your hands upon me. Create in me the divine nature that can never sin. You're going to say, Father, lay your hands upon me. Create in me the divine nature that naturally produce holiness in the name of Jesus. Open your mouth and pray like that. Geleshanatash denkihetenegala. Lay your hands upon me now. Lay your hands upon me now. Lay your hands upon me now. The message of holiness is the best message for you to hear at this time. The miracle of holiness is the best miracle you can receive from God ever. Pray. Say, Father, lay your hands upon me now and create create your divine nature in me that naturally produces holiness in the name of Jesus. Lay your hands upon me. Create in me the divine nature that naturally produces holiness. Create in me the divine nature that cannot sin, that can never sin. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, we are praying. Amen. I'm going to pray for you now. And I believe you have your water right there. As I'll be praying on your water as well. Heavenly Father, we thank you for you are so faithful. Thank you, Lord, for your grace that is forever sufficient. Thank you for your strength that is able to destroy the strength of the enemy. Thank you for your fire that is able to transform us from inside out. Be exalted forever in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for your presence in this place. Thank you for your presence in this ministry that does wonderful things. Thank you for the things you have done in us during the course of the prayers we prayed today. And thank you for the things you're about to do. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for showing us how we should confess our faults one to another and pray for each other. Thank you for showing us that this holds a secret to our healings and deliverances. I ask, O Lord, that everyone that have had these fruits will receive grace right now to begin to do it. In the name of Jesus, I pray for you that when you need to speak out to your fellow believers concerning issues in your life, so that prayers can be made for you, so that prayers can be done for you, I pray you will not keep your mouth shut at that time. In the name of Jesus, I pray that the Lord connect you with believers that have the Holy Spirit in them. Believers that have the life of Christ in them. Believers that have fire in them. Believers that are full of honesty and righteousness. I pray the Lord connect you with such believers so that as both of you pray together, the will of God can be birthed in the head. The will of God can prevail in the head. May the Lord do this in your life in Jesus' name. Oh Lord, I ask that you anoint the waters your people have presented to you right now in your presence. Anoint this water with fire. Anoint this water with power. Anoint this water with the blood of Jesus. O Lord, let this water your people have placed before you become a physical instrument for divine healing. Let this water become a physical instrument, a supernatural, a divine physical instrument for healing miracles and deliverance miracles in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for I know you have answered. Oh, Lord, I ask that you help as many people here who are still struggling to surrender all their lives to you, who are still struggling to repent concerning certain things in their lives, certain things, certain unrighteousness in their lives. Oh Lord, help them to be wise and to make the right choice before it is too late. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for I know you have answered. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' name, I have prayed. Amen. Amen.